From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Malone, and this is Invest Insights. Every week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest growing metro markets. Real leaders, real insights, right now. These are challenging times. The COVID-19 pandemic has tested our institutions, our businesses, and ourselves in ways many of us could have not predicted. When we started this podcast, we focused on crisis management as the pandemic raged. Season 2 was all about resilience in the face of uncertainty. And our new season will look at what has emerged as the dominating theme of the pandemic, transformation. From products and services and consumer relations to future plans and how these leaders themselves have personally transformed. We'll be going in depth to learn just how much our world has changed. Enjoy. I'm joined today by Gregory Stewart, the Executive Director of the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization. Greg, it's wonderful to have you.
It's great being here. Thanks for the invite.
While filled with challenges stemming from the pandemic, 2020 did also offer the opportunity to reevaluate priorities and address inefficiencies. With that in mind, how has the Broward MPO transformed its thinking as it relates to the now and the future of mass transit options in the county? And in light of that, how has this period transformed the Commitment 2045 plan?
That's a really great question. This is really an appropriate time to see the transformation happen. With the advent of the COVID environment, it's not been the best time to be traveling together in mass transit. However, as we wane away from the impacts of the COVID environment and as, you know, our return to our city centers become more common, I think mass transit here in Southeast Florida is going to change dramatically. And a lot of that is because a lot of the Commitment 2045 planning efforts that actually recognize this transformation, we knew that we're not going to necessarily have the ability to build out our roads beyond where we are today. So capacity is one of those issues that we all face, and we recognize that traffic can only get worse if we continue in single occupancy type cars. So in the reality, we're really looking at mass transit, and some of the things that kind of came out of that proposal about 5-6 years ago, this MPO really made a big effort to help Broward County push forward with a full penny sales tax for transportation. In that was actually buried a whole bunch of different transit proposals. These transit proposals are finally becoming real. We've been working together on multiple transit projects. One particular concern that's been happening for the last 20 years is the Coastal Link. That's passenger rail, local rail, on the Florida East Coast Railway lines, those exact same tracks that are currently carrying Brightline. So what you're going to start seeing because of this penny sales tax, because of the change in the environment, because of the way COVID has impacted our communities, that particular project's going to move forward because there's the ability to do so and there's a demand generated. That said, it's also really important to start looking at the east-west corridors connecting people from Weston, from Coral Springs, from western areas of Pembroke Pines and Miramar East, and that's going to actually also change the environment as well. And there's a lot of effort moving forward for that. I'm really excited because, you know, when you have these change opportunities, the things that make transformation, like we had with COVID, when we recognized what type of office space and remote work and how things happen, that it was all that flexibility was built in to our Commitment 2045 plan. And that plan actually is very resilient, recognizing a lot of things that we thought were going to happen 10, 15 years in the future have already started happening today. And that is why I'm really excited by this transformation.
And one of the other transformations that we saw last year was this rapid transformation from work from the office to now work at home. And I wonder, has that changed the priorities for the MPO at all? You know, I live in Miami, just down the road from you, and I've only seen an uptick in traffic as of late. So I feel that maybe what we're experiencing and commuter traffic and how that affects public transportation. Tell me what your perspective on this is.
A lot of the traffic and the capacity on our roads have actually, since the COVID impacts, they actually went down. The roadways have had additional capacity added to them because people aren't on a regular work schedule and also not on a regular school schedule. That said, you know, you're going to start seeing the recovery in the both of those sectors, and I think you're starting to see it as well down in Miami. We are here in Fort Lauderdale. I know they are in West Palm Beach. But that whole work schedule, because of the proof in the pudding, because we've been able to work remotely and be able to do that, travel may be a little bit different, where there will still be traffic on the road. You might start seeing 10, 20, 30% reductions from previous highs because people can work from home 2, 3, 5 days a week and then switch. As a great example, and we like to lead by example in our agency, we have 7 teams that go into the office for a full week. So basically, I'm working remotely 6 weeks out of every 2 months. And that is a really interesting way to handle capacity issues. And then the other really exciting part about this, and this is something that is great on the public sector side, we've started to see people participate in meetings virtually that never used to show up. Or I can actually make a presentation in Miramar at the city commission from the comfort, and I'm actually sitting in my guest room, even though the background says Broward MPO on it. I'm actually in my guest room, and right now I can be in Miramar. And just yesterday, I was in Washington, D.C., meeting with our legislative delegation. Instead of me getting on a plane, flying up there, you know, staying in a hotel, moving back and forth, this entire environment has proven this change. So what does that mean for our traffic? That means that we're going to see reductions, but I think they're going to be more targeted reductions. And part of the efforts that this MPO is going to do with our leadership team, as well as everybody that is in support, we're actually working with the Greater Fort Lauderdale Transportation Management Association to work with employers to develop schedules that's similar to what we've implemented here at the Broward MPO, where they can have their 10,000 employees, but those 10,000 employees can work shifts. And that will show really dedication on the roadway, which will allow our capacity to actually lessen, and that effort to put transit in is going to be that next step. Because, and if you're only really going in 1, 2 weeks out of a month, then all of a sudden transit becomes a real reality for you because you know you're dedicated in that office for those many days. And so it's a lot easier to schedule a transit trip for a 2-week period or a 1-week period, and knowing that if there is an emergency, you have an alternative schedule done. So your kid, let's say your kid needs to be picked up from school, you need to take your mom to the doctor, you know what weeks you can schedule those. So our traffic situation is going to be completely different as we move into the future. And that is, again, one of those side benefits of a crisis.
When we spoke with you for our Invest Greater Fort Lauderdale report, you discussed the significant impact of the Coastal Link commuter rail will have on South Florida. How do you believe the Coastal Commuter Rail will permanently change transportation and transit-oriented development in South Florida for the long term?
That is one of the most dynamic projects, and it's one of those you learn from the past. When Henry Flagler put the original railroad down from St. Augustine to Key West, it stopped at Miami for a while. It was actually, that is what created Southeast Florida and all of the cities along the corridor. Yes, Fort Dallas existed. Yes, that was the old name of Miami. But, you know, the reality is Fort Lauderdale, Fort Dallas, Miami, you know, those cities actually grew around the stations. And what will probably happen in what we're seeing with the commuter rail is new cities or the cities will redevelop around those stations because people will look for access between the cities. And you can live in West Palm Beach, you can live in Fort Lauderdale, you can live in Miami and work in the other places. And all of a sudden that becomes a very different challenge for moving people. And, you know, Brightline has proven a few things with their short stint. And once they get back into reoperation at the end of this year, you're going to start seeing even more development occurring around their station locations. You've already seen an increase in property values around those stations and some development, but there's going to be even more development as we see. You look at downtown Fort Lauderdale as an example. 20 years ago, there was a proposed downtown campus project that was actually where the terminal is for Broward County Transit. That is actually finally moving forward, one, because of the connection to Brightline. That connection by itself actually is going to create a dynamic for government on that side to allow for connectivity. The trick is going to be tying those ancillary buildings and so forth to the Tri-Rail facility, or to the, Brightline facility. You can tell I'm thinking Tri-Rail Coastal Line. But, you know, basically those facilities need to be all tied together. And that's why that dynamic is so important. It's going to impact our business community. It's going to impact our real estate community, our construction community. Things are going to change really dramatically from that. Because, it used to take me, and I have relatives in Miami, and a lot of places in Miami. We used to go down there and visit with them, after work or on the weekends. It takes you 40, 50, sometimes 75 minutes to go from my house here in Fort Lauderdale down to visit my family in Doral. That said, all of a sudden, if there's rail, that commute may still take similar times, but I'm going to be on my phone, I'm going to be playing games, I'm going to be enjoying my ride, and that by in and of itself is the value that's going to change the way communities work. You know, we just have to be able to be in the same vehicle with other people, hopefully not masked up.
Yeah, through all the challenges and events of last year, how have you personally changed?
Dynamic. Transformation personally has been phenomenal because the way we actually communicate with family, that completely changed. And part of it is a little cold, I'll be honest with you. Having FaceTime dinner parties and having FaceTime social events and birthdays, it's not the same as sitting in the same room and being with everybody, but it has driven us closer together, not further apart. We've actually been communicating with family. I have family in the United States, I have family in Greece, I am in Spain. We've all been communicating with each other more now than we ever have because we're all checking in on each other. And I'm hoping that transformation stays that way, that we don't go back to where, I know they're okay, it's all going to be all right. Now it's like you check, you find out, you see what's happening. Travel, also, I just love going places and seeing things because I like bringing those experiences back home and saying, could we do this here? That is another area that personally has changed for me, where I used to be able to get in a plane and I'd go overseas and I'd spend some time with other family members and we'd go to cafes and walking around. Now, it's all virtual as well. I mean, literally over this past week, Mardi Gras, so it was Monday night, I actually did a happy hour with family and friends learning how to do New Orleans-style drinks. And they're in New Orleans. I have other family in LA, and we had family down here. And we're all on this video making drinks like you would have if you were sitting on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. What a difference in life that makes. So that, and one last thing I think that has also been kind of fascinating on a personal side, which is going to impact transportation as well, is our medical side. And doctors practicing video medicine, that used to be the thing of Dick Tracy, the cartoon characters. It's like, so Buck Rogers, someday in the future, you'll have these holograms and they'll talk to you. Well, now, I've gone to the doctors four times since, the crisis started, and it's all been on the video line. Hey, doctor, what do you think of this? What is that? Can you prescribe? This is going to change the way we actually operate as well. So even on the medical side, you're going to see changes that I think are absolutely dramatic, but that's changed for me personally. And it's actually as challenging as the COVID environment has been for people, everybody's families and those who have lost people or have been sickened by it, it's also provided new opportunities. And on a personal side, while we grieve for those people that have been lost or got sick, we end up showing the resiliency of our spirit and the promise of tomorrow. And that while we may lose people today, we still believe that tomorrow is going to be brighter. And I think that's something that has also been really a personal best for not just me, but I think for a lot of people I know.
You've been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Maloney. Thank you for tuning in.